Mr. Godwin, Reel 9. We're talking about the working up trials. So you had two jobs in on HMS Fitzroy, I should have mentioned that. You had two jobs then. Mm. One was basically you were on the depth charges, and secondly you were training, helping set the fuses, training the lads and setting the fuses on the after 3-inch girders. Yeah. Would that be correct?
But I had three jobs.
Ah, what was the third job?
I was also a seaman. Got to remember, although I was a torpedo man, I was also a seaman, which meant splicing, rope work, partnership, and doing various jobs on the ship, like as a seaman's work. I still had to do the same as what the other seamen done, such as washing down the deck.
But tell us about that. How did you wash down the deck? Let's take these jobs one by one.
Hoses. Use those. Just take your shoes, boots off. Or if you put sea boots on, I used to take my boots off. I much prefer to have my feet get wet rather than carry heavy sea boots around. And we just use hoses and hard brushes and scrub the deck.
Any other part of cleaning ship you had to do?
But when it comes to such as if it was we all done splicing, rope work, wire work.
Now tell us about that. What was it for? What were you doing it for?
Well, usually you done the wire work was for the springs of the ship when you went into harbour. That is what they put on the bollard on the shore. And as you had one forward went aft, and one aft went forward. Well, then you had your lines, which were rope, which was 3-inch rope, which also held you in. That was to keep you in them. The idea of the springs was the ship couldn't move forward, it couldn't move back. It could only move out, but the ropes, they stopped you moving out, so you was well and truly tied into the shore. You were solid in your shore. You could only go up or down. You couldn't go out, you couldn't go forward or backwards.
Any other seamanship duties? Any other seamanship duties?
Well, we use it. Not really. That was mainly the seamanship.
You were an able seaman by then, were you? What difference does that make, being an able seaman rather than an ordinary seaman?
Well, you was above the ordinary seaman. You was one rank below the leading seaman. And
did it make much of a difference in fact?
It made a difference in pay. Another footman's another 3 pence a day. Instead of 3 shillings a day, you got three and footman's.
Now you were doing a few alterations and then you did some more sea trials at Casco Bay.
That's right.
Do you remember much about the Casco Bay?
Casco Bay mainly. When we went up to Casco Bay, that was in Portland, Maine. We were designated as a training ship for officers. Now, Casco Bay is nothing but a load of little islands. And we used to do trials in there, and it was mainly for these officers being trained. They used to have officers come aboard, like, to familiarise with the ship. Even American officers used to come aboard to familiarise themselves with us. And we also do more aircraft trials, like gun trials, depth charges and all that. But in the bay, we could only do dummy charges, which automatically floated anyway and they were picked up. They didn't use the Z guns there, and they never fired the Z guns. But they used to stay aboard with us for a short while, they were being trained by our officers, because our officers had already had pre-training before the ship commissioned. They would do a week or a fortnight with us, and that was it. But they used to have to take us around the islands, like sailing around these small islands in the bay. Of course, Casco Bay is a very big place. And it was off the main seas anyway. And then they'd have radio transmission, etc. On one of the islands, which is still there today, is a radio transmitter. It's still there today. I was there in 2000, I saw it, I went aboard over there. And that was the point of them officers sending messages and receiving messages. And that was what this was all about. In effect, we took the place of a ship that should have been there, HMS Rowell, which is also a captain class frigate, should have been there, but they never went. We got there before that. We was commissioned before them, so we took their place.
You also went to Bermuda during this time, didn't you? Bermuda, you went there at the same, right about the same.
Well, from Casco, we went down to Bermuda.
And what happened there?
Well, that was a nice place. We had some more trolls down there, but that was ocean trolls. When we went out there, we used to have to go out into the ocean and do trolls. It's similar to what we'd already done. But it was just to find the seaworthiness of the ship in an ocean.
Now, what about the rolling? Because some people talk about the rolling of the captain. No. How was it? You weren't seasick, but what did you think of the ship's rolling?
Well, if you put a wet flannel on the shore down and you put a ship on it, it rolled on it. As simple as that. It was like that, even on the calm sea.
Was it bad? I mean, did it...
Well, I can give you an example of an experience that actually happened to me on that ship with a few of my shipmates aboard. When we went to sea, we all always had to close up on watch. And starboard watch was closed up. So I was on the quarter deck. And we're standing there. All right, I've got sea boots on. We all used to have our sea boots on, even in the hot weather. We even put our duffel coats on. And I stood there, and the ship started to roll. It was a bit rough. And the ship rolled. I was ready to step off and swim. That ship was like that.
It was rolling so far.
Right. All of a sudden, it went over and I thought she was going to do topsy. Water came halfway up my sea boots. I slid down, ended up against the guardrail. The chap who was standing next to me, he fell down and he rolled down and he was covered in water. She must have gone over the best part of 60 degrees. We thought she was going to turn right over. At that, our skipper must have signalled, we're coming in. We went in. Everything was topped down the mess deck, all the crockery and everything smashed and everything else. All food was messed up in the galley, through the roll on it. We went back into harbour. There was quite a discussion going on, apparently, between him and the various doings. So we was allowed to... We organised a rugby match. One of our blokes organised a rugby match against the Yanks. Well, they called it football. But they knew that I used to play, like... as conversations went of what we used to do in school days and that. As I told them, I used to run for the school. I played rugger for Barking. So that as short as I was, they picked me for their team, but they was all big blokes. And every time they organised this match against the Yankee Navy, well, we went out. Even the skipper was out with us to come and cheer us on. But they always put me in a scrum. Because they turned around, Red Arse, you know more about this than us. They was all just, heads up, and now you get your head down. With me being small, they used to lift me off my feet. They would kick the ball towards me when it came in, and I was able to kick it out under my feet. But the Yanks tumbled to this after a few times, because I used to get in a scrum in a different place every time. It was all planned, and they spotted it, and all of a sudden, some sod kicked me in a bloody ankle.
Swelled up.
I was rushed into hospital. They thought I broke it. I was rushed into Malabar Hospital. That's a Royal Naval Hospital. It was only just inside the dockyard. They went back aboard ship, they packed up all my gear, ammo, everything else, put it all in the kit bag and brought it over to the hospital. Well, I was in there for a fortnight. And I didn't know, although the boys used to come over and see me, and the TGM used to come and see me, none of them told me that the Fitzroy was going to leave that weekend. And when a doctor came round, I said to him, "Well, my ankle seems okay now. Is it possible to go back aboard ship?" He checked it. He says, "I don't see why not." Well, I got back 10 minutes before the ship sailed. Otherwise, I would have been left behind. And I got back on board the Fitzroy. All right, the boys was bloody pleased to see me come back. And I was away. Well, it was through this rolling, we went to Charleston. And at Charleston, while they was doing the mess deck tables, they welded railway lines port and starboard on the upper deck. We had to just go out and stay out overnight to see how the ship rolled, because we would never have got across the Atlantic on that ship if they'd never put them on for stabilisation. But we did get back eventually.
Now, what, can I ask you one thing? You keep mentioning your nickname. What was your nickname?
Red Arse.
Red Arse?
Yeah.
That's not very complimentary.
Well, there was another ginger bloke on my mess deck, and he was called Ginger. So they couldn't very well call me Ginger. But this ginger bloke turned around and said, "We call him Red Arse." Well, I had an American cap, a seaman's cap, and they painted on it Red Arse. So every time I went on watch, my name was painted on me.
You didn't mind, obviously.
And it stuck.
You didn't mind, did you?
No. In fact, I only mentioned it to Skipper the other day. He said, "I'll remember you with the hat."
Now, so you had these railway lines welded on. Anything else happened? That was when you had the canteen taken, sorted out, wasn't it?
Yeah, we had all the tables fitted. They were all fitted in at the same time. Well, from whilst that was being done, we also restored fresh armament, like depth charges and shells and that, where we've been using them on practice. So they all had to be replaced. Reprovisioned ship with stores. We had this night out to see how the stabilisation was. Went back in to report everything okay. And we went up to Nova Scotia, Halifax. From there, the Canadians was taking a convoy up. They were in the Canadian escort, were the main escort. Well, being that we was coming back with them and assisting them, we was put on the most southern end quarter of the convoy.
Now, this was convoy HX275.
Yeah. And we had to. Well, I'm taking that number. It might have been different. I'm guessing on that number a bit. It was near enough that number.
Right, okay.
Because I can't recall the exact number.
And do you know what month this was? Do you know what month? you were on the convoy?
You
didn't say anything.
That would be around about February time.
That
would be about around about February time. Now, we was put on the southern leads boundary of the convoy because of BNI check. And there was a few scares as far as submarines was concerned. We was picking them up. But they were too far out for us to go to attack them. But we kept them at bay by moving out a bit further each as we was going. And we kept them at bay. But somewhere along the line, a submarine did penetrate the escort. Must have come in, most probably come up from astern, could have come in forward. There was a few skirmishes with the Canadian escorts. The Gatineau was the main skipper of the main ship for the Canadian escorts. And all of a sudden, there was a massive explosion, and there was a freighter went, the Aniar. It was only a small ship, but it was in the middle of the convoy. So we knew that the sub had to be right in the middle somewhere. Well, we was called in to get around the convoy with our equipment. But we couldn't find him, no matter what happened. Now, there was a Canadian escort called the Fennel. She was ordered in to pick up any survivors. Well, being that we couldn't find it, we had to go in and assist the Fennel. That was all right. I'd been sunk before. I'd been in the woods before. But that was the worst experience I'd ever come across. That was the worst. I'd never seen it before.
What was so bad about it?
Well, what happened was, we couldn't go too far in, so we had to wait until we could only go so far so that we can reach the survivors. So we couldn't go too far in case we should pick up this submarine and it meant us throwing depth charges with men in the water. But knowing it was stationary, that was the worst experience, because we was now in one position to be fired at. Well, we threw the scramble nets over. That was over the side of the ship. And any volunteer who wished to go over could go over the scramble net to assist pulling survivors onto the scramble net. Well, I'd been on a quarter deck, I was one of the first over. I went over, I knew what it was like. But it was terrible to see chaps in the water, covered in fuel oil, being helped by their mates, and injured. Well, being as a young fella, and I've never been afraid of heights, all I did with a scramble net, I just stuck my feet in it, turned myself upside down so as I could grab them to pull them up onto the scramble net, or pull them onto the scramble net so as they can climb. And as the ship was rolling, my head was going under, coming up smothered in fuel oil. But I always shut my eyes before I went under. But I was still able to do it. One chap, which I did get hold of, his mate was fetching him in. And his mate was calling me. If I remember him now, he was calling out, "Take Bert first." Apparently, it was the name of his mate. And it was a question of take Bert first. And he's got this chap's arm round his neck, but his other arm was floating free. I've grabbed hold of his other arm. He had a coat on, grabbed hold of his other hand, and as the ship went up, I've got his hand and he's in the water. His arm had been severed, and I've got it. I've done that. I threw it back in the water, which I shouldn't have done. I threw it back in the water, grabbed hold of his coat, his collar, on his shoulder, well, it was on his shoulder, grabbed him, pulled him in, and as this chap who was in the water pushed his hand up for me to get hold of, I've still got his coat, I've had to turn myself upright to pull him up because I'm upside down. I've had to pull on my legs, and another lad who came over, and he was alongside me, he's assisted me to get him up. He was unconscious, this fella, and we've managed to get him on deck. But this bloke sailed away, he's floated away from the ship, because somebody else got him in.
That this is his friend who said, take him first. He floated off, but he was rescued.
He was rescued. One of the first things he did when we were finished, five members of that crew was missing. So we take it that they must have gone down with the ship. Their skipper was amongst them. So they must have gone down with it. One of the first things we got up on board, I was pleased that the ship got underway. They was all laid out on the quarter deck, anywhere where they can put them. Fennel had a load, but our sick bay wasn't sufficient. It only had one bed. So we've had to find a small mess deck, which was happened to be the ST's mess deck. We all had to clear out, and they put bedding in, and they made it into an hospitalised quarter for the injured. Well, from that, when I came up on deck, I was smothered in oil. Somebody threw me some sacking to wipe the oil off me face and off me head. I had oil right up my chest. And this chap who had floated away and he's come back on, we've got him back on board, he walked up to me, he says, I thank you very much.
Now, what you've done there, it seems very commendable. Was there any question of you getting any sort of medal or,
No, there was nothing like that. In fact, when after I got cleaned up, I was taken by the petty officer on duty, and I was told that I was on a charge. I said, for what? For? You jump ship. I said, what do you mean I've jumped ship? You weren't holding on the scramble net. I said, of course I was. I was hanging by my feet. No, I never knew it. You had to keep a hand on there. You never even had a rope round you with a bowline on it. I said, we didn't have time. I said, but I knew that I can hang by my legs. I said, by hooking me legs in the scramble net, I knew that I could hang there forever. I said, and I was able to help quite a number of chaps come about onto the net. So I had to go in front of the officer of the day, the lieutenant. I never did like him. But still, that was beside the point. I never told him so. But he's what was known as Jimmy the One. And he, straight away, he put me down for captain's report. Next morning, I was up in front of the skipper. When they explained that I wasn't holding on to the scramble net, the skipper said, well, how was you down there if you wasn't holding on the scramble net? I was hanging on by my legs. And I was able to use both my hands to pull anyone that got within my reach into it. I said, because I could use my legs to push the scramble net out from the side of the ship, which took me out a bit further. Because all I'd done was kept one leg in, kept the other one, and I could push on the side of the ship, and it moved me away from the ship if I couldn't reach them. And that was called breaking ship. I got 7 days, 10A for it. Mind, I never served the punishment because they couldn't have it while we was at sea. And that was all forgotten by the time I got back. And
so you were being punished for taking excessive risks, basically.
Yeah.
They thought you'd risk to, you should have kept hold.
Yeah.
So there was no medal, so...
No, nothing. You see, normally when you went over the side like anything like that, you had to put a rope around you tied with a bowline. It had to be around you, tie a bowline, and somebody up on top, or either they tied the rope off up top and just give you freedom, or somebody held it, should you go, they can pull you back in. I never had the rope. I was just free-handed. Well, we all were. No one had a rope. And it was only people who had been at sea, was over on this scramble net, and I was right on the stern end. And if they turned the screws when I went under, I would have been sucked under. But,
how did you feel about, what you'd seen, the awfulness of it? I mean, I don't want to upset you, but also about this business of supposedly going to get punished. I mean, I know it didn't happen, but how did you feel generally after? Did it affect how you felt?
Well, it made me weary that should anything have happened whilst we was at sea again, whilst we was on that convoy, should any situation happen again, I wouldn't have gone over on that scramble net. I wouldn't have gone over. And it would have been, even if I could save a bloke's life, I would not have done it. Because I was being punished for something that I was doing to help somebody.
Do you know if they survived, the one who'd lost his arm? You don't know if he survived or not, really, do
well,
you?
Well, no, not because when the Fennel and us found that we couldn't pick, there was no more we could pick up. We couldn't find anyone else. And we discovered that five had disappeared. the skipper wasn't there, but the first mate was there. He was on the Fennel. That was a Canadian ship. We chased to catch up with the convoy. But we still went on the outer screen. But the convoy seemed to have picked up a bit of speed. Of course, we was heading for Iceland. Well, the convoy went into, we got to Iceland, the Fitzroy went into Reykjavik, as likewise was the the escort group that went over, the Canadian escort group, they also went into Reykjavik. We all went into refueling, but we went alongside the Gatineau. She had a surgeon aboard, but she also had a big sick bay. So we transferred ours over before the Fennel because we was going to leave them. And we refueled first. And we picked up two Royal Navy ships that was there, and there was three merchant ships. There was the Shamus and the Chance. That was the there were two ships that was coming over for the Royal Navy, and there was three merchant ships that we were taking to Loch Hugh.